One, if you turn with me to the book of Daniel, I'm reading two portions from Daniel and two portions from the Gospels. Firstly is Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2 and from verse 24. You'll recall that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had had a dream. And he had called for many to interpret, and they were unable to, and unwilling and unable. Eventually, Daniel, the man of God, goes to the king. And in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 2, we read, "Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, 'Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation.' Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, 'I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation.' The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, 'Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?' Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, 'The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about that which would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image head was of fine gold, his chest and arms of silver, his bellies and thighs of bronze, his legs of iron, his feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. The God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you will arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all of the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all of the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Turn to Daniel chapter 11 and verses 36. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exhort and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desires of women, nor regard any god, but he shall exhort himself above them all. This, friends, of course, is speaking particularly of the last days Antichrist. And as I've been meditating on this, verse 37, this is just an aside. What I'm saying is not the word of God as such, but I'm just giving you my thoughts on it. Verse 37, he shall regard neither the God of his father nor the desire of women. Now, I'm sure there's many interpretations of that, but it struck me as I read that and then read it again and then read it again that the Antichrist might be a lover of men. And that's the way we're going. Verse 38, but in their place he shall honour a god of fortresses and a god which his fathers did not know. He shall honour with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortress with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance his glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all of the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. Matthew 16. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing Jesus, asked him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Jesus answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And Jesus left them and departed. And Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. Mark, chapter 13, verses 32 to 37. Verse 32 of Mark 13. Jesus is saying, but at that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest, coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch, watch. Well, we've read two passages from Daniel. One was the interpretation, the meaning of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and the other one was looking right ahead to the last days, the coming of the Antichrist. Then we read two passages from the New Testament. One was a rebuke to the disciples, a rebuke to the people. Look, you can tell what the weather is going to be by looking at the sky. We still do it, don't we? 2,000 years later, if it's a beautiful sky at night, we think, well, we're going to be in for a fine day tomorrow, and we'll talk about it. Now, wrong with that, but Jesus is saying we can do that. Understand the signs of the times, please. That is more profitable. That is more profitable. And then we read a few verses from Mark chapter 13, which is very similar to, obviously, Luke chapter 21 and Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus is speaking about the signs of the times. But of course, what impacted me, and I'm sure, I hope, impacted you, is that Jesus, when he's talking to his people, when he's talking to his disciples, he's saying, watch, don't be sleeping. This is not a time to sleep. This is not a time to sleep spiritually. It is time for the church to awake. Hallelujah. It's time for us to awake. And this morning, for a little while, I will be bringing teaching on this matter. We are so thankful that God, we believe, arranged for this church to host the Answers in Prophecy Days, the monthly Answers in Prophecy Days. We're aware that not everybody from this fellowship is able or perhaps even wants to come to these important meetings. But they are meetings to help prepare us so that we will be watching, that we won't be taken in, we won't be deceived, but by God's grace we will be alert and also be making disciples in these last days, that we will not be caught unawares. So this morning, to seek to encourage you, what I believe the Lord has dropped on my heart, I'm giving you some history and also something which I believe God is urging us to take notice of, because I'm afraid so many, even professing Christians, ignore prophecy. Of course, there are nutters around who bring their own weird and wonderful and ridiculous interpretations and bring it into contempt. But so much of this precious word of God is talking about the future. I'm just reading, or I'm quoting a little bit from a commentary on Daniel. And the writer says, it is my conviction and motivation for writing this book that we are now living in the final period of 49 years. And the writer says, I'm not predicting that Jesus will return in either 2016 or 2029. The Bible states that God has not revealed the time, just as he did not reveal in advance the time of his son's birth. But the return of Jesus is very close. There are only a few years left in which to prepare. And he goes on, even without the specific sign of the return of Jerusalem to the Jews, I would ask, how can God allow this present age to continue for much longer? The 20th century was a time of unparalleled violence and war. Man has acquired the means to instantly annihilate himself with nuclear weapons. Boundaries in scientific research, such as the cloning of human embryos, have been crossed, which pose huge ethical questions. Society has abandoned the restraints of God's laws, choosing to follow what seems right in their own eyes. Millions of babies die because bearing them would be inconvenient. And many more starve while the rich get richer. Is this a world to which God can turn a blind eye? Then he says, do not be deceived. The book of Daniel warns of two evil people who will cause immense suffering to the Jews. And the first of these is described in Daniel 8 and also 11 verses 21 to 36. And he's urging us to be ready. And he says the greatest concern that Jesus had for the church was not that we will be hated by the nations, not that we will be outcasts of society, or that those who kill us will think that they are serving God. He will give us strength to endure such things. He says it is the danger of being deceived that most concerned our Lord. The church today is asleep. It is riddled with false teaching that has left it totally unprepared and open to deception. There are very few Simeons who are looking for the blessed hope of the return of Jesus. I don't know if you recognize that. If you haven't got Philip's book on Daniel, please see him afterwards. It's important read, as indeed are his other booklets, particularly a booklet called Watch. Well, folk, we've got a general election coming. I don't know if you are aware. Aren't you glad God's sovereign?
Yeah.
Eh? Aren't you pleased that the Lord, he overrules all things. He's sovereign. But I think you'll agree with me that politically, morally and economically, we are headed for self-destruction. And Philip speaks about that in his books. And I think that really only a dictator will be able to unite. But make no mistake, this dictator won't be a good man. He will be a wicked man. He will be a wicked person, an evil person. In fact, it will be Satan incarnate. Satan incarnate, the very Antichrist. And I think you'll also probably agree that political parties are not going to unite nations. They're not going to unite the world. I've noticed increasingly that politicians of whatever flavour, whatever colour, they don't seem to speak with conviction any longer. They've all got their speech writers, and nothing really comes from the heart. There's no conviction. And so much of which we hear is orchestrated so that the people will be fooled. And of course it is crooked and dishonest. Folk, this is what Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome were like before a dictator came to power. The democracy of Greece became a farce. The democracy of Greece became a farce. History records in the writings of Aristotle and others that prior to Alexander's the Great rise, there was anarchy, there was mob rule. And as I was preparing for this sermon, for this talk, I came across one of Aristotle's notes, what he is purported to have said. This is what he said: children have become rulers of parents. Isn't that interesting? We see that increasingly today. I go to school from time to time. Perhaps I ought to go to learn, but I don't. But I go, and I'm hearing parents of three-year-olds, four-year-olds, five-year-olds negotiating with their children. And then the children having the final word. It's gone pear-shaped. And one of the things which we'll be learning, I think, this coming weekend, we want it to be a very positive message that we end up with. Because it is, it should be, for the believer, it should be very encouraging. But our small children are not our friends, are not the parents' friends. Adults are adults, children are children. But this is, Aristotle wrote, children have become rulers of parents. And in the end times, the prophetic word says that there will be increased lawlessness, and particularly amongst the children. Plutarch said, men wore bizarre costumes and women found joy in men's clothing. As I read it, it really does mirror so much of what we're seeing in society today. There was social breakdown. There was calamity. And of course, it paved the way for a man called Alexander. Alexander the Great, who became dictator. Only a dynamic person, a dictatorship, could have saved Greece from herself. Do you know, when Alexander the Great when he rose to power, he was just 20 years of age. Now, we read in the Bible, we read from Daniel chapter 2, about Nebuchadnezzar's image. The image of gold, Babylon. The image of silver, Medo-Persia. The image of brass, Greece. The legs of iron, Rome. And the toes of iron mixed with clay, the revived Roman Empire, under, I believe, the leadership of the Antichrist. And I believe that the, whatever you would call it, the Great Tribulation, this time of severe trouble and disorder and anarchy, that will be the ultimate in mob rule, in confusion, in anti-God, in Antichrist, and anti-Bible. And on the shoulders of the monarchy, of the on the shoulders of this leaders, this anarchy, the Antichrist will be made known. Because out of the chaos will also, I believe, arise the new world order. There's never been a world empire without a world dictator. There's never been a world dictator rise unless he arose on the shoulders of anarchy. And this world is far gone. As I quoted from Philip's book, every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. And so, friends, as things worsen, as we see the Islamic domination take greater hold, even particularly in the nations of the West, as we see the factions of Islam fighting each other, killing each other, as we see men's hearts failing them through fear, the hope of the nations will rally around a personality. Because don't forget, as the Bible says, when Antichrist makes his appearance, he will deceive many because he will be a friend of Israel. He will say smooth things, what the people want to hear. But he will turn. Nebuchadnezzar saved Babylon from anarchy and the mob rule. Cyrus saved Medo-Persia from anarchy and mob rule. Alexander the Great saved Greece from anarchy and mob rule. These men were strong enough to pull together their cultures from mob rule. And then, of course, there was the Roman Empire, represented by the legs of iron in Nebuchadnezzar's image, seen in his dream. The Roman Empire, it was engulfed. It was engulfed in political confusion, in the rebellion of youth, in political corruption, in revolution from the young people. As we read, men dressing like ladies. Anarchy, mob rule, rebellion. When there arose a man of stature, Julius Caesar, who had a fanatical following from his soldiers, Rome was eventually pulled together and saved. As I understand, as I study this, in times of chaos and political and social collapse, a dictator comes along to save the known world. Men lead crowds and mobs. Out of anarchy there arose Nebuchadnezzar. Out of anarchy there arose Cyrus. Out of anarchy there arose Alexander the Great. Out of anarchy there arose Julius Caesar. And out of anarchy would arise the Antichrist. Today, we live in the same type of age that existed before Nebuchadnezzar, before Cyrus, before Alexander the Great, before the Caesars. And nothing, it seems, are going to save this generation. Of course, it won't be a real godly save. It will be a dictator. As I say, he will be the wicked devil incarnate. He will be evil to the core. He will be a world leader, and out of chaos will arise a new world order, the beast system of the coming Antichrist. And I think in the days to come, the world is going to cry out increasingly for a world leader, a strong personality, a charismatic figure. The Antichrist will be that man. And I think the coming of the Antichrist, and friends, don't get depressed. This is not meant to depress. It's meant to get you into the Word to prepare you. Because if you're... Because I tell you this, I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I know he's going to come, but I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But we have to have an understanding of these things, or else we'd be taken in. Because I fear that many sleeping Christians, when Antichrist comes, and he comes, you know, as I say, with wanting to do good, with wanting to unite and so on, sleeping Christians will be taken in. He's Antichrist. He's coming in place of Christ. Instead of Christ. You know, the Bible says, particularly in 1 John, about, and I preached on this a couple of months back, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. It's in place of the biblical Jesus. And our prayer is that we as believers, this church, for all in our fellowship, and as we grow and make disciples, more and more being added, to us. And remember the word of God which he gave us some 9 months ago in the from the Psalms. It will be said that this one is being born here. It will be said that this and that one is being born here. This will be a birthplace, and it will also be an ark of safety. Not because we're special, God forbid, but because God longs to have a family and a fellowship here and elsewhere in Crawley and beyond, where it's a place of refuge, where people are born again of the Spirit, hallelujah, and are discipled and fed and carry on making disciples who know their God. As it says in Daniel, they know their God. They will do exploits in his name. We need to be aware. History is there, is important so that we can learn, because we seem to not learn from our mistakes. History repeats itself. And yes, the tribulation time will be a time of great upheaval and terror. The wrath of Satan will be poured out, particularly on the Jew, but also the believer. But the Lord has promised, you who endure to the end will be saved. Hallelujah. We look up. Behold, he's coming. The King is coming. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. Praise to his name. You see, friends, we've read that the Antichrist will set himself up as God. We read in the Bible that the world will worship his image. In fact, we will just read it, Daniel chapter 7. There's other passages, but I just want to... We need to base everything on the word. Daniel chapter 7. Verse 23, Daniel 7, verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue these three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half time. In the New Testament, quickly, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. This is the word of the Lord, and we need to take heed of it, friends. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin, Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm not going to read it now, but of course, Revelation chapter 13, if you may not be familiar with all of this, that's fine. That's why please don't feel bad if you haven't learned or heard of these things. All I ask is that you do search the scriptures and see if these things are so. Read Revelation chapter 13 when you have a few moments at home. It describes the coming Antichrist and how many will be subservient to him. And it will be impossible to buy and sell unless you have the mark of the beast. Hallelujah. But I tell you, for any believer, any Jew who is in Christ, hallelujah, they will be miraculously provided for. Or the Lord will take them out of the way. Hallelujah. Blessed be to his name. The feeding of the Israelites in the desert. Hallelujah. You know, when they obstinately refused to go to Canaan, to the promised land, God fed them miraculously. He gave them clothes, he gave them shoes miraculously. And the people of God who are around when Satan is on earth in the form of Antichrist, they may well be persecuted. They may lose their lives for the sake of Jesus, but God is their protector. Hallelujah. And I think, again, that precious, precious psalm, which has been made so special to Christians and believers who have fought in the great wars and other wars, Psalm 91, will become even more and more special and precious. And how we need to know these scriptures now, so that when the enemy does come in like a flood, we will know the word, we can quote the word, we can believe the word, we can speak the word. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. The promises of the Lord are yea, they are amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. And remember, in the end, God demonstrates his power. Antichrist and the Lee and his followers will be cast down forever, and Jesus will come and reign. Our Lord and Savior will go through that east gate into Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And he will reign for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. He will make his enemies his footstool. Hallelujah. Blessed be to his name. Do not be cast down. The only reason you should be cast down this morning is if you don't have a hope in this God. If you're not ready for the appearing, not so much of Antichrist, but for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, when every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. If you're not ready, it will be a time of absolute terror. You will be calling, as it were, for the mountains to hide you, for the rocks to cover you. You'll have nowhere to go because you refuse to find peace with the Lord Jesus now. If you do not know Jesus, get right with him now, or else you will be consumed by the breath of his mouth. And that's a terrible thing. But our Lord is coming. He's coming. He's coming for his bride. Get ready. Get ready. Hallelujah. Friends, we have awesome opportunities, even now, to make Jesus known. To get to, if we're prepared or being prepared by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we will also be able to bring others into the light. John says something very, very sacred, very special when he says, "Even so, rescue them out of the fire." I've been rescued out of the fire. I have. Somebody loved me enough to speak the truth to me. What an opportunity we have. How we need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. These things which I've shared are real. They will take place. But behold, the King is coming. And folk, we will be forever with him. This life is so transient, isn't it? We speak and then we say, oh, you know, the older I get, the quicker time goes. And it's so, isn't it? You know, it's no sooner Monday than it's Saturday again. It seems like that at times, doesn't it? Time is but a vapor and we can look back. We're made for eternity, friends. Let's be ready.